On today's episode, we talk about love bombing and how to identify it as it shows up in intimate relationships. We discuss how to spot it and how to avoid it.
We also give you some tips on what you could do for yourself if you are experiencing a partner who may be love bombing you.
Let's talk about love bombing.
Let's talk about love bombing. Why don't you start now?
Why are you thinking like I should start first? You think I'm a master of understanding love bombing?
I mean, I definitely feel like you're a master of it. Not only because it's your niche, but also because, you know, I think it's, I mean, I feel like it comes up for both of us in our practices a lot. But, you know, we had our recent conversation, so.
And we had like differing perspective on it. So I guess the first time I came across the word love bombing was when, you know, I was in a narcissistic relationship and I was like even healing through it, I was reading a lot on the cycle of abuse. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that a lot of authors talk about is love bombing in the cycle of abuse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it all made sense to me how love bombing played such a destructive role in the cycle, because for me, you know, personal experience and professional experience, it showed that a lot of like toxic relationships circulate around, you know, love bombing as part of a manipulative tactic. Mm-hmm. So for example, for narcissistic relationships, love bombing is part of like, you know, this like hoovering or sucking victims or survivors in the narcissist, in the relationship. So love bombing for me, I would say it's part of the cycle of abuse, because in the beginning of a relationship, in a narcissistic relationship, it's very much about like, you know, like gift giving or, you know, surprises and like really exciting trips. And it's a way to basically, you know, make you feel like, wow, like I found my partner in crime. And it's just a way to it kind of was a manipulative tactic, I feel like, by the narcissist in a way to suck the victim in, you know? So every partner is very different. Every narcissist is very different. You know, I've had people who told me where, you know, even like, just simple pictures or simple text messages saying I miss you could be an example of love bombing. So to me, I think it's like a manipulative, toxic, I would say, thing that like narcissists, or not even narcissists, like some people could do without even knowing they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm trying to remember the context of our conversation, which we'll get there, and how we came across, you know.
We were talking about like this guy that I dated or something like that, or before someone like that. And you're like, I think that's love bombing. But I was like, he's just sending flowers, you know?
Right. I think so for me, I think love bombing is basically I see it the same way. I feel like it's a form of manipulating, you know, someone to get them to believe that they are safe, you know, by showering them with whatever it is, whether it's gifts, attention, et cetera, et cetera. And essentially trapping that person. So yeah, I like how you said sucking them in, because I do think it's a gradual suck in. Right. I guess like the thing for me is like, how do you know if someone is genuinely just like a loving, attentive person who showers you with love and attention? How do you know that that's not love bombing? Like, given, let's say you've been in a relationship with someone and you are concerned, how do you know that that's not love bombing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I have like the perfect answer, because I know this happens.
Yeah.
I see it as a cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it as something you can't, I feel like it's hard to like, you know, kind of notice if this is like, if like, you know, you're dating a guy in the beginning of the relationship, and they're just kind of, you know, sending you flowers all the time, you know, is that normal or is that like toxic, right? You don't really know until you get to know that person. But one of the things that I know that it could be toxic is when like couples like get into like an argument or something like that. Or like they have like, yeah, like they have an argument and then the next day the guy like showers the partner with gifts, flowers, gifts, whatever gift, it could be cards, right? And I think that to me, I think that's so manipulative because it kind of sucks the person in, you know, because they're like, oh, this guy is a good guy. Or, you know, I just think it's toxic, you know, because you can tell how a person behaves after an argument, honestly. So if I think if they're having an argument and the partner is sending, you know, all those gifts, I think that's toxic.
Right.
Versus
right.
like, let's have a discussion and talk about it.
Right. Right. And then sending whatever it is. Right. So like addressing the issue versus trying to minimize it by manipulating them into like, hey, I do love you and I'm going to show you by X, Y, and Z. Right.
Yeah, I think without like everything. Yeah, I think everybody shows their love in a different way. But I think that there's certain things, like if someone's like, you know, my partner is like really mad at me and they come from a really insecure place, they're like, what should I do? Oh, let me just like shower them with affection and shower them with gifts. And so that like it takes away from my poor behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Also, it like creates this form of or this misleading form of an emotional connection or emotional attachment, right? It's like a misleading element to the development of the relationship, right? Like, oh, we're connecting emotionally, but you're really not. You're just showering them with all of this attention or all of this thing. But what about addressing the argument, right? So like, can I get personal?
Sure. Okay. Please do.
So we were talking as friends and we were at my house and we were having this conversation and you were newly dating someone and I think this was like maybe a month into your relationship or dating where, you know, this person booked a trip for you guys several months down the line. And I think, but in addition to that, this person was just so amazing. So sweet. Yeah. Like, bringing flowers to the office, doing all of these amazing things. And as we were talking about it, I think that's when the question came up, just in conversation, not so much of, you know, I'm worried this person is love bombing you, but I did say, like, do you think that this is love bombing, right? Mm-hmm. And then you said no, and this is where our conversation came up. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, now, you know, several months later, you know, this is definitely who the person is. It's not necessarily a love bombing thing, but I think that was maybe some of that was your intuition because mm-hmm. I definitely feel like as a person on the outside who knows you guys haven't had any arguments and knows that everything is peaches and cream. And maybe
I don't know about not any arguments. It's not perfect.
Well, yeah. I mean like early on, right? Like early on in the relationship, I think like I just wanted to make sure that you were okay, right? Again, not from a place of putting him down and just automatically assuming that this person may have narcissistic traits, but more of like, are you paying attention to it? Because sometimes I feel like when we're in it and it feels so good, it just feels so good and we want to stay there, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that's where I was coming from in the conversation. We had a really great, I think, healthy conversation and it became a debate about not the person, but a debate about love bombing in general.
Yeah. I think at that moment when you were like, we were talking about it, I think you had mentioned that you don't think it's a toxic thing. To me, I feel like it's part of an abusive, toxic pattern.
Mm. Yeah. I think how I said it was, I think what I said was like someone can shower you with all of this love and it could be love bombing, but it doesn't have to be toxic. And I think the point I was trying to make was exactly what you said is paying attention to the cycle because then it can be toxic. I think I may or may not have said that, but I'm saying that now that it can be toxic. But you were just saying, no, just that term in itself is just toxic. So let's eliminate that term and just say showering with love or whatever or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Was that our conversation?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that, but I still don't. I still think it's toxic.
Yeah.
I've never came across anybody who love bombed their partner and it was actually a devotion or a nice thing to do. I don't see it that way. I think love bombing is toxic, period. I don't see it as a good term. Mm-hmm. I know your intention was very good in a way where it's like, oh, like you can be showering somebody with gifts, you know, but that can also be love bombing because it kind of still sucks that person in.
Yeah.
But the I think intention behind it is also very important from the person you're dating. Mm.
I think it's safe to say, you know, someone can shower one with love in that way. And that's just who they are. So I think it's unfair to then say it's love bombing without watching the cycle. Right.
Yeah.
So, but it is some form of showering with all of this love and, you know, and like being extreme, especially if it's not something you're familiar with, right? And so then obviously as you watch and as you progress, you see, okay, this person isn't using this skill set or this tactic as a manipulative thing. This is just who they are.
Yeah. I also think that like we have gone through our fair share of destructive like relationships and we're traumatized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're like extra hypervigilant and we're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you sent flowers. What does that say? Like, is this good or is this bad? Like you're just so hypervigilant and you kind of want to make sure like not only yourself, but like your friends are in the clear and it's not like a red flag.
Right.
So I get that, you know, but I think we're so hypervigilant in relationships, you know, especially when we're dating. Is this going to work out? Why is this happening? You know, you're trying to control the future,
right?
Rather than just allow it to be. And I think once I learned that, like working with my therapist to, you know, just be in the present moment and not try to control the situation. Like, what if this happens? What if it doesn't work out? What if, you know, it's, you know, whatever, like, what if we argue, whatever it is.
Right.
I was trying to control the narrative of the future. And once I let that go, I just allowed things to be. And, you know, it turned out better than expected, right? Because what we thought, whatever, even if it was love bombing or not with the flowers and stuff like that, mm-hmm. he still does it.
Right.
Yeah, and we're still dating.
Yeah, totally.
So in that regards, but I do think that it is a destructive pattern. So mm-hmm. things to be aware of, like now that we talked about showering with love, you were trying to define it as showering with love. So it's not love bombing.
No.
Okay. Showering with love is different. Showering with love looks like, okay, like on a regular day, mm-hmm. you get flowers and your partner is surprising you with flowers or cards. And you mentioned like the trip that my partner booked. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's pretty, I would say aggressive, right? When you're first dating somebody. To me, I was like so anxious. Like, what do you mean? Like, how do you know? How does it work? Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe, you know, maybe this, what if this? So that kind of made me spiral in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference between love bombing, if somebody love bombed you with a trip, you know, it would be like somebody taking you on a trip within that same month.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
Compared to, you know, like my partner now is like, you know, he had done it months in advance. He was making fun of it because he's like, well, I did it because it's like, if it didn't work out, I could just get credit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I'm sorry. Here's a trip.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry that your feelings are hurt to make you feel better. I'll take you on a trip because I know that's going to give you a dopamine high.
For sure. I think it's like a gradual thing, right? Of, you know, watching and paying attention and being super self-aware and self-aware of yourself, right? And I mean, look, we're therapists. We're both therapists. And, you know, to your point, we have been through, you know, some unhealthy relationships, is safe to say. And so you can't help but feel weary of it at times, right? And this is where we are humans, and you hear me say that a lot, especially here on our podcast. So okay, how do you know you're being love bombed, right? So like, what are some signs?
Well, one of the things this is going to be more on a personal level.
Yeah.
So one of the love bombing signs in my narcissistic relationships in the past was, it wasn't like, you know, crazy trips and expensive stuff. It was like right after the discard phase where it's like, you know, you guys are no longer together and you guys decided you guys aren't going to be together. Like maybe a month or two later, they'll come back mm-hmm. to love bomb you. Mm. So for example, what my ex used to do is like, he used to basically text me like a picture of us or something that I really liked to eat for breakfast. And he took a picture of that and send it like a month or two later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what that would do to me, because I was so trauma bonded still mm-hmm. and I was still recovering. Mm-hmm. It was giving me like it was like giving me this adrenaline rush where I was like, oh my God, he still loves me. He still thinks about me, you know? Mm-hmm. So guess what? Just with a one click of like, mm-hmm. or thank you.
I'm
right back in the cycle.
So like an excessive declaration of love.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And intense and immediate attention, right? So like it's pretty intense early on. That's another sign.
Yeah. I also think that the intense feeling comes from like the survivor or the healthy partner. Because if you get that picture or if you get that text with a flight, think about it. Who wouldn't feel excited?
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like if you've always wanted to go to Bali or something like that, and like he or she, whatever, books a trip to Bali and sends you a picture saying, I'm sorry. It's like, who's going to say no?
I'm not going to say no. Yes, please. No.
Yeah. Yes. You know what
please
I mean?
And thank you. Yes. No, absolutely. I totally agree. Also, you know, some other signs, right? Like rapid pace of the relationship, right? Like moving really,
fast.
Really fast early on in the relationship.
I agree.
So this is beyond just booking a trip 8 months in advance, right? AKA your experience. But more of let's go on a trip. Like to your point, let's go on a trip. We're going 2 weeks from now and I'm paying for everything, right? Or, you know, I want you to meet my parents, or I want you to, you know, come with me here, X, Y, and Z. Come to my work event. I want all my coworkers to meet you. I want my boss to meet you, right? So that excessive, like extremely rapid pace of just like, you know, you're the one. You are the one, without getting to know that individual's, you know, flaws and assets, pros and cons, like just making that would be love bombing a sign, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that just kind of, you know, personally takes me back when it comes to like narcissistic relationships or just like not healthy relationships. The pace goes really, really fast, and like they spend time together so much mm-hmm. that, you know, people think like there's individuals who think like, oh, you know, like if I spend more time with my partner, that means I know him more than, mm-hmm. you know, I would mm-hmm. if I didn't spend time with him.
Right.
But I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. I feel like healthy partnerships require time. Because right. time is what's going to show you. Experiencing certain situations is what's going to show you if mm-hmm. this partner is healthy or not, right? Mm-hmm. You can spend all the time you want every single day, but like, guess what? Like 2 months later, you can go mm-hmm. to a social situation mm-hmm. and he or she acts up and right. you're like, what the heck just happened?
Right,
who is
right.
this person?
Right. Yeah.
And then you can't deal with the conflict because they don't even communicate that well.
Right.
They could be anxiously attached. They can throw tantrums, you mm-hmm. know? So I really do think a healthy partnerships require patience and it requires time. It requires space.
Right. Which goes to what I was going to say next. Another sign is actually the constant communication, right? Not giving that person space. Not just bombarding them with messages, calls, and texts. And, you know, the underlining experience here for the person on the other side of it who's being love bombed is, oh my God, they're trying to get to know me. They, you know, they want to be with me. They love me. They can't stop thinking about me. But in all honesty, it's their way of sucking you in. That's exactly how they want to make you feel. Not giving you the time and the space to be with yourself. I mean, yeah, you can't survive on your own, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
And on top of that, I also think that like self-reflection is so important. Mm-hmm. Like if you're someone who really wants to be in a relationship, And you kind of start having this cognitive dissonance mm-hmm. of like not like just focusing on the good stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of the relationship and not seeing the things that need to be worked on. You know, you start to gain, you start to get the cognitive dissonance, right? You kind of like, you know, just brush off the negative aspect right. of that relationship. But to be honest with you, like, you know, everybody can act good, mm-hmm. you know, but the part that I think that needs to be valued is, you know, emotional regulation, mm-hmm. emotional intelligence. And I think looking at red flags versus green flags.
Right, right. Yeah.
And if there's more.
Totally.
If there's more red flags than green flags, you got to get out.
Yeah, totally. And I think that there is, you know, this misconception and that fighting is a problem, or fighting is what is going to deter us being together in the long run or not, right? But no, actually, I think having arguments is key in really identifying like if this is healthy or not, right? Because it's the way you fight.
It's how you argue, not right. what you're arguing about.
Right, right. The way you argue, the way you fight, right? So I think that that also can help you ultimately determine, like, wait a minute, what happened to all of this love and the showering? What happened to you loving me so much that even a mistake couldn't really lead to you walking away from me or lead to you going off on me or whatever that may be, right?
Yeah. I think that's why it's so important to take time in a relationship to see if that builds, you know?
Right.
And I think that we're at that stage in life where, I mean, at least for me, like I don't have time to spend another like 6 months to get to know if this person's gonna change. I don't want that in my life, right? So, you know, when I was dating, that's exactly what I said. Either this person that's coming to my life is going to hear me and understand me, or I'm out. I mean, I know that sounds kind of like, you know, too straightforward, but not to say like no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, relationships require, you know, two people getting to know each other and growing with one another through differences, through conflicts, through arguments, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not what you're arguing about. It's how you're arguing. Mm-hmm. No one changes over time. If you have someone who is exploding on you, who's throwing tantrums and, you know, is just excessively like violent, mm-hmm. you know, and it's stonewalling you and just ignoring you, I think that's a problem.
Right, right.
Ghosting you and doesn't talk to you for a couple of days and then comes back and says like, hey, like, you know, let's talk.
Right. Mm-mm. So why do you feel people ignore these signs, these red flags? Why do people ignore these red flags? I mean, we see it all the time in our practices.
There's a, you know, cognitive dissonance is number one, mm-hmm. right? Because that person is only focusing on the good attributes of the other person, and that holds that person, like that holds you into that relationship longer than you should be.
Right.
That's number one. I also think that, like, you know, we've talked about this in our earlier podcasts about, you know, like women in dating in their 30s, you know. And I think that when you get to a place in life mm-hmm. Where you're like, I just don't want to be single anymore. We've mm-hmm. gone through that, you know. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that, mm-hmm. you know, in my mid 30s or in my late 30s, but
right.
I've experienced like not wanting to be single. So, you know, I was going on dates where everything, you know, just felt kind of, you know, I don't know the word. It just felt good and okay. And I just like went with it. And I'm like, great. Like, this is a partnership. We all want companionship and partnership. Right. And I feel like we just sometimes end up in a unhealthy one.
Right.
And just think that things are going to change. Mm-hmm. When it might not.
Right. Yeah. I think it says a lot about your lack of self-awareness. Right. Right. I think that, you know, if you're not aware of where you're at, I feel, or your worth, right. I feel like that is a perfect opportunity for someone to come in and sweep you off your feet, right? Because they're going to make you feel like you're worthy. They're going to make you feel like you're amazing. That is that manipulative tactic, right?
Yeah.
But if you do not have the self-awareness, I think this is a number one issue that comes up for people that do get sucked into these types of dynamics is A, of course, they have their own trauma stuff. B, they have their own lack of boundaries or whatever it may be, their own insecurities. But the bottom line is you can have those things, but if you have self-awareness, then that will be your key to working on those things and not tolerating this, right? Of course, self-awareness requires a lot of work, but if you don't have that, you can't create boundaries. If you don't have that, you can't create space for yourself, right?
You just brought up something for me.
Yeah.
You just mentioned tolerating. That's a big word, you know, for me, because it's big for like for just tolerating. Relationships, because I think there's a difference between accepting and tolerating.
Accepting versus tolerating. Yeah.
You know,
have we talked about this?
No, it just came to me.
I think we may have talked about this in like, no, or have we not? I don't know. We talk so much. I can't keep track.
Yeah, we...
AKA...
We talk about everything. I wish we can...
Friends who are therapists.
I think we can just like, you know, we should just record ourselves when we're like in the car, you know, two therapists, two friends, confessional. in the car.
No, but don't lose that train of thought. That's a really good point. You said tolerance versus acceptance. Talk about that.
So I feel like, you know, tolerating means like you are just a... you know, your sense of worth, your values, and all the green flags that's necessary in a relationship is just like out the door. So, you know, for example, if you're with a partner who communicates aggressively and is like putting you down and criticizing you, you know, constantly, to me, if you're still in the relationship, you're tolerating abuse, you know, accepting is very different. For example, if one partner is like passive aggressive, but they have a lot of green flags, a lot of great attributes, they're empathetic, they're kind. Listen, relationship takes work, but you get to a place where you're like, okay, I accept this person is passive aggressive. And, but he's also like hearing me, right? Well, I'm talking about my current relationship.
No, it's good. I mean, we,
you know
that.
What I mean? I'm more communicative, but right. Guess what? I used to be passive aggressive, but I did the work with my therapist and learned how to communicate. Now my partner isn't perfect. No one is,
right.
You know, but he has way better attributes. He can listen to me. He hears me and he works on it.
Right.
After listening and hearing me,
right.
You know, he recognizes it and he's more self-aware when it happens. Before he wasn't.
Right.
I accept that.
I can
accept that to be with this person, to be with my partner, for us to grow. I don't think that like he's coming from a place of, you know, hurting me. You see what I'm saying? But it is... it's acceptance. I'm accepting. And that's something that I accept that he's going to like be able to work on because he hears me and listens.
Right. Right. Totally. I love that.
How do you define it?
Which part?
Both. Like tolerance accepting versus acceptance.
Yeah. So I think that, I don't know, it's tricky, right? I mean, I think that how you explained it is really beautifully stated, right? Like I love that. And I love that perspective. Like I feel like sometimes tolerance and acceptance can be of one. What I mean by that is you can be tolerating someone and their shenanigans, whatever that is, and then, but be accepting it all as well, if that makes sense.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, I can't put those two together. Again, see, it's interesting how like we see it differently because if I'm saying the word out loud, the first thing that's coming to me is like, it's this like red flag.
Which word?
Tolerating.
Yeah. But I think accept to me and then how I see acceptance is can also be a red flag too. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes people tolerate so much that they end up tolerate too much and then they lead to accepting it.
So I have a, so with that being said, yeah. when we're talking about love bombing, when people are in a relationship where they get, where they're getting love bombed, yeah. do you feel like they're accepting and tolerating, they're accepting the behavior and tolerating it at the same time?
I feel like sometimes some people come in and out of consciousness. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes they're present and sometimes they operate from their subconscious. And I feel like when someone operates from their conscious, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we got in this big fight and now they're sending me these flowers again, right? Like that would be tolerate. Like, okay, whatever, it is what it is. I'm tolerating it. Versus like, you know, they get in a big fight and then, you know, they send flowers and then the acceptance way of that would be, you know, they're not aware of it. And they're just like, oh my God, see, he loves me so much. You see? Mm-hmm. So it's like operating from the conscious side of your brain is like the awareness part of it is like, okay, this is again, they keep doing this and sending me all these flowers. So you have some level of awareness. So you're choosing to accept it. And so I'm sorry, you're choosing to tolerate it because of the awareness. And then the subconscious is you're so triggered. Your subconscious is just like, well, it's familiar to it. It's familiar. It's what you may think is safe, but it's actually unsafe. And that's the toxic cycle. So
is that what you would say to a client? I feel like this is a lot of psychological terms of like somebody. What would you say if like a client is coming to you and and they're like, you know, because I'm just wondering like how viewers are going to put that together. I think how you said it was so good.
Yeah.
And I understand it.
Yeah.
But I wonder like if we had to give an example.
Right.
Right. When it comes to like the love bombing about in a relationship.
Right.
And, you know, this client has come to you for a couple of times,
right.
You know, probably seen you for months, let's say.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, they're saying like, oh, you know, like my partner takes me on trips and surprises me with all these, you know, gifts. It can be small or big gifts. Mm-hmm. It could be like, I don't know, like so many, like bought me a bunch of stuff.
Right.
But like when we argue,
right.
He or she is explosive. I'm just like, we can say he or she, but they're explosive.
Okay.
Like when we argue and all I'm doing is, you know, trying to communicate my feelings, but they're saying they're blaming, like they're basically shifting the blame onto them and they're just like really explosive and they're very avoidant. So they walk away and they don't, and then they ghost you. And then 3 days later they come back. Where would you say the accepting and tolerating would look like?
Sorry, I was just, I was thinking of my own example while you were giving that example.
Okay. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. So let me give you I was thinking of just like experiences and maybe personal stuff too. So for me, you have a client, you have a person that comes in and says to me, every time we fight, every time we get in a bad argument, they never take accountability. They're always throwing it back on me. And they're always saying it's my fault. And then they send me all of these messages wanting to talk to me about it. They're calling me. They want to talk about their job. But every time I talk to them, they're still blaming me, right? That's pretty toxic, right? Why are you tolerating that is what I would say, right? So you have awareness. You recognize that's not healthy. Can I ask you why you are tolerating it? Why are you not saying, creating a boundary and saying, please stop calling me. And if they continue to call you, you have to honor your own boundary by not accepting the calls, right? Mm. I'm tolerating. So that's a form of tolerance to me is how I would explain it to that client, right? In that way. Acceptance. Every time, you know, I'm so upset. Oh no. Client comes in or a person comes in to me and says, we got into this massive explosive fight and they slapped me or they said something negative to me. But immediately as I was crying, they came and they hugged me and they said that they have a Rolex watch for me coming in the mail. And I just looked at him and I was just, I knew he loved me so much in that moment that he would go and buy such a luxurious thing for me. Right. So like, if I hear that, I'm going to say, got it. So there is a massive level of accepting that type of behavior.
That sounds like love bombing.
Right. So that's how, so that's, I think how I would explain, not I think that is how I would explain it to a client. I would use whatever they're sharing with me and then basically interpret it the way that I see it, which is okay. So you're accepting or you're tolerating it. Of course, I'm going to meet them where they're at. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's different too. Like I see where you're coming from, but I think that it just depends on like the situation, totally. But I can see how accepting and tolerating could kind of coexist.
And I could see how you see it too. Mm-hmm. So this is where we see things differently, but really like truly, I hear what you're saying and I see it that way too. But I also see it in this way as well. So it's just perspective. It's all in perspective. And this is what I love about having conversations with you, because I learn stuff. We learn stuff about each other, A, personally, because of how we see things, right?
I also don't think our egos get in the way, because no one is like wrong, quote unquote. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like we're right in our ways.
Right.
And I think that's like why I feel like friendships and relationships don't last sometimes.
Totally.
Because
totally.
Like one person wants to be in the right.
Yeah, totally. I wanted to say one more thing about this, and then I'm thinking maybe we can give some tips, like some quick tips on maybe how to overcome that.
Definitely.
Right. I was going to say this, and maybe this could be a whole new podcast conversation, an episode. I feel like when someone exhibits some form of narcissistic trait, people immediately jump to the conclusion that this person is a narcissist, right? And this comes up a lot in my practice of like, you know, someone love bombing, oh my God, they're a narcissist, right? But that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. I don't think, and I would love, you know, your two cents on that, because I feel like that term is thrown around so much. I know we've had these conversations about it, and I'm constantly having to tell my clients and reassure my clients, even with themselves, like, am I a narcissist? No. So there are some narcissistic traits that, yes, that's very manipulative, or yeah, there's, you know, there's a little bit of love bombing that's happening here that you've been doing, but does that make that person a narcissist? Absolutely not. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Not every person is a narcissist, but you know, there are people who portray narcissistic traits. I just feel like there is a level of narcissistic traits that people need to be aware
totally.
Of. You know, like there are people who can like love bomb so hard and still treat that person poorly each and every time, repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Narcissism is a spectrum, mm-hmm. and it's continuous love bombing. Again, love bombing for me is a manipulative tactic. It's continuous. It's repetitive, mm-hmm. you know? And if it follows with, you know, devaluing their partner mm-hmm. each and every time, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's really important. That's good. Okay, let's do some quick tips on how to overcome someone who is love bombed or is being love bombed after, of course, they're aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like for me, number one, recognize the manipulation.
Right.
Right. Set boundaries. Do you mm-hmm. ditto these? You ditto?
I ditto them.
Okay. Take time for yourself. All right. So have the space. And if you're not given that time, then that says something, right?
Yeah. I was going to add on to the boundaries. Part of like an example of a boundary is like, don't give in to these treats. It's like a dog getting treats in a way. Like, you know how puppies like love treats mm-hmm. and if the treat is in front of them, they're going to eat it up.
Right.
But you know, to be honest, I would say don't give in to the treats mm-hmm. that the person is love bombing you with and just say like, you know, thank you for this kind gesture, but I'd rather talk about our relationship and really communicate rather than us going on a trip. Let's go another time.
That's a great boundary. That is so good.
You're welcome.
And I think that if that is hard, because sometimes the object or the thing is so shiny, I mean, you want to jump on it, right? You want to get that shiny object, whatever it may be. And when I say shiny, I'm talking about whatever the bone may be that mm-hmm. your, you know, partner is throwing at you.
Right.
But that would say something about yourself if you see it and you see how shiny it is and you still go towards it, right? That says a lot about you and what you have to do with yourself.
Exactly.
Okay, good. So taking time for yourself, seeking support for sure, right? So talking to a therapist, talking to friends, talking to family, right?
Friends and family sometimes
tricky.
It's tricky because everybody's going to give their subjective reality of how they see things, right. And that kind of confuses people a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I would just try to if it is a friend and a you know, like a family member that you trust and right. who are not biased
and judge,
you know, because friends could be friends and family can come from a very protective,
yeah.
you know, part.
That's true. That's a good point. That's so true. Yeah. I mean, because they're protective, right? Like you said, what else? Trust your insight and your intuition. How many times in your practice have you seen people are just like, I knew and I didn't listen to myself? Like,
I would say that's okay too, because it's I just feel like every experience leads you to a better version of you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even after dating like a major narcissist, I would say, or, you know, a couple of narcissists, yeah. I feel like I also dated people who had narcissistic traits even after. And right. you're like, I should have known. Like,
yeah.
I'm like an expert in this. I should have known.
Right.
But I just, until I got to a place where I was like, you know, really exposed to healthier
right.
dynamics, where I was like, oh, this isn't good. It feels boring, quote unquote.
Right.
Right. Like, which we can get into it in our next podcast episode of like, you know, how people think some relationships are boring, but it's yeah. really healthy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we can
totally.
Get into that.
Totally. Yeah. What are the tips? So trust your instincts, learn healthy relationship patterns, right? Like what are healthy relationship patterns? Again, through a therapist, maybe through other people that you see that are healthy. Of course, that is subjective as well, because what people sometimes portray on the outside isn't necessarily what is the truth. But still, it's nice to have, you know, some kind of healthy perspective, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Practicing self-care, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think self-care is like just a thing that should be done all the time.
Yeah.
You
I
know?
Think, yeah. I feel like self-care it's tricky, right? Because I think I identify self-care as a luxury and not a necessity. Right? Like what are things that are luxurious for you and not necessarily with, you know, dollar signs, but you know, it could be going to the beach. That's luxurious for me. Getting my nails done is not self-care. That is a necessity for me.
Right? Really? I think that's self-care for me.
It's not for me. Yeah. It's torturous for me. I'm looking at the time. Oh. I have movies on.
Oh yeah. That's different. That's like your ADHD mind kicking in. And you're like, what can I do? I have to do like million things at once. So I don't pay attention to this time.
But it's like drain. It's like exhausting for me.
Oh, interesting. Because self-care means different for others. Yeah, to me, that's totally. Self-care.
That's my point.
Like getting my nails done.
That's exactly my point, right? Like it's how you view what you view as a luxury versus a necessity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and sometimes necessities can be luxurious too, like working out. Some people feel like that's a necessity, but it's also luxurious for them too. I don't see working out.
Self-care? You don't see it as a self-care?
I see it as a necessity. I have to do it to be healthy.
I think that's self-care too for me.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the answer to
right.
the problem. I think it's just like people who haven't provided like care for themselves.
Yeah.
And has always been like playing the role of like someone who was the caretaker, mm-hmm. you know, to them it's like foreign, right?
Totally.
So I think just like reminding people to put in care for themselves.
For sure. And then another tip is, to your point, you know, being patient with yourself, right? You're probably going to fall. You're probably going to get sucked in. You're probably going to be in a dynamic where you recognize isn't great, but you're still in it. So be patient with yourself, love yourself.
Yes.
Reinforce those affirmations. And it doesn't always have to be a positive affirmation. That can really be toxic too. Something neutral, like, I'm human. I'm doing the best I can.
Right? I love that. Stop self-sabotaging.
Right.
You know, I don't deserve this. You know, I'm not worth it. Yep. And so I think on that note, you know, I think that we went from like love bombing, but to relationships in general too, because I think it's all intertwined.
Totally.
You know,
I mean, it is.
And there are some, these are really great tips.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope this episode was, you know, a way to help others who are struggling to know the difference.
For sure. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
This was good.
Yeah. Well, on that note,
thank
we'll
you.
See you guys next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.